Thank the Lord tonight. I thank the Lord tonight for everything that's been said. I appreciate Brother Bob saying that. And really, the thought we had, I was going to be out of the book of Ephesians. You got your Bibles with you tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, I was reading at the house. And I was reading in chapter 2, and it just rolled right into chapter 3, and just all the things that Paul was writing to these folks here, the church of Ephesus. And then I went to chapter 1 and read through again, and I thought it would be unusual to read 2 to 3 whole chapters. For me, anyway, I usually don't read that much out of the pulpit. But I am going to start tonight in chapter 1. Amen. And I know that we have been talking a lot today and the message about the purpose, God's purpose. It's not our purpose, it's His purpose. Sometimes we have a hard time seeing God's purpose and understanding God's purpose, but we are carnal. And we do know that God's ways are higher than our ways, and His mind is far above ours, and we can never understand the fullness of God, but we do get glimpses every now and then. And Paul writes this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in which also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You can be seated tonight. But that's just the first chapter. And if you want to be really blessed, go home and read chapters 2 and 3, 4. But we notice in chapter 1, Paul's writing to them, and he mentions in a couple places what the purpose of Christ is. And Paul, of anybody in the Bible, and we know when he was Saul, and we understand his life, and If you study the scriptures, you understand who he was and what he did prior to his conversion on the road to Damascus. And here was a man that thought he understood what the purpose, what God had purposed for himself in life. He thought that God's purpose for individuals was something that was religious in nature, handed down through time, following after the laws of Moses, but nonetheless over time, they had taken the laws of Moses and corrupted them altogether. But still yet, Paul was enlightened along the way, and we find here in his letter to the church here at Ephesus, we realize that he's writing this letter out of love because he had heard from them and heard about them, the things that they were doing and the love that they showed towards each other and the love that they had for God. And so Paul was writing to them, encouraging of a few things. But in that encouragement, in that letter that he wrote unto them here in chapter 1, he begins to expound upon the purpose of Jesus Christ and what it was God had purposed in Christ for mankind. And we would be good today if our whole world fully understood what the purpose of God was and what the purpose of Christ was and what was meant in the coming of Jesus Christ and what it meant to us that we might have something precious from above, that we do not have to live in this world alone, and we don't have to go day in and day out without the love of God in our life and following after things that we're grasping at every day, wondering what it is in life that we're supposed to be doing and what our purpose is here in this world. Apostle Paul lays it out clearly, and I begin to look at some of the things that he mentioned in chapter 1, and there's more in chapter 2 and more in chapter 3. As Paul, I believe he was writing the letter, I just have to believe that as he was writing these things to the church, that his tears was flowing out of him because he was, listen, being blessed by the same Spirit of God that comes to the church in our day and time here and just overwhelms us at times. There's nothing like being overwhelmed by the power of God and the Spirit of God tonight. But as Paul is writing to these church folks here, the brothers and sisters, he writes, he says, according as he had chosen us from before the foundation of the world. So Paul had made it very clear to them, and it's clear to us, that the Lord looked at us long before we ever chose Him. God chose us. He chose us when we weren't even born. He chose mankind when He created them in the garden. Hey, listen, when He made them, I said that this morning, when He made them in His image and He breathed His own breath in their body, and Adam got up and became a living soul, and He took the rib out of man and made a woman. Hey, listen, God chose mankind above everything that He ever made, above every creature He ever formed, above anything He ever spoke into existence. God laid His own hands to man, breathed His own breath in man, created man in His image, put him in the garden for one reason only, so that he could dwell with man, he could be with man, and listen, so he could walk with man, so he could visit mankind anytime. And listen, that he'd come to the garden, he would find man there. And listen, and God loved Adam like his own son. Hey, listen, because he made him there. But we know that Apostle Paul, when he was writing here, as he clearly stated, from the foundation of the beginning of time, God's purpose was to be with man. But we also know, hey, listen, that sin entered in. But we also find in the letter here, as Paul was writing to him, that God had predestinated unto us the adoption of his children. I heard a long time ago, and I never really fully studied it out on my own, so I'm somewhat hesitant at times to repeat things that I've never read or studied myself. But there was a good man that I trust and I have confidence in that he said he studied one time. And according to the Jewish traditions of adoption, if I was to have a son and my son did something that brought shame upon my house, that as a father I could disown my own child. I could put them out. I could make them without inheritance. That was my prerogative as a father of my own child. It's not something that's to be taken lightly, but it's something that could be done. But according to a Jewish tradition, as such as I was told, that if a man or woman adopt a child, that child through adoption is always their son and can never be cast out. That once that child is adopted, that child is adopted. Hey, listen, and cannot be written off or excluded from the family. And through that then, hey, listen, we ought to shout the house down whenever we hear that God
predestined us to be adopted as his children because he's not writing us off. Hey, listen, he didn't write us off when Adam sinned in the garden. Hey, listen, he didn't write them off. He may have put a cherubim there. He may have put a flaming sword there, Brother Jim, that they couldn't come back in. But God made provisions that they could walk through the blood of his own son and they could get back to that place. Hey, listen, and they could be adopted through the blood of Jesus and be called a child. Aren't you glad tonight that God predestinated mankind through the adoption of Jesus Christ to be his children? And through that, praise God, we have redemption through the blood of our dear Savior. Hey, we are more than conquerors tonight. We are children of God tonight through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God, according to his holy promise. I just have to believe Paul was filled up when he was writing this letter here. Listen, adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Listen, he didn't do it begrudgingly. It was according to his good pleasure. We talk about the love of God. We talk about what happened at Calvary, that the Lord himself had to turn an eye, turn his head on his own son. But it was according to his good will. Hey, listen, that he turned his back for a moment on his son. Hey, listen, so that death could get a hold of him. And he submitted himself even unto death, the death at the cross. Hey, listen, so that we could have redemption through his blood. Hey, we could be born into the family of God. And we were not outcasts. And Paul told him in chapter 2, I believe it was. Or maybe it was in chapter 3. He reminded them of who they were. He said, you were aliens is what you was. You were outcasts. Cut off from the commonwealth of Israel. You were not a part of the family. He said, you were called the uncircumcision. By the circumcision, that is, those that were circumcised by the hands of man. Oh, but you've been circumcised by the Spirit of God. And you are made children. You are heirs and joint heirs. Hey, praise God. Hey, listen, because it wasn't according to what you wanted. It was according to God's purpose for us. That he would redeem us. Not only, he said, in this chapter 1 were you, listen, given the adoption through the through Jesus Christ. You were given redemption of sin. He said you were forgiven. Forgiven your sins. So in other words, that handwriting of ordinances that stood in the way, that separated you from God. Don't you know that God the Father, when he saw the blood of his own son, he forgave you of those sins. And not because of what you wanted him to do, but because when he saw the blood of Jesus, he couldn't see past it. And when he saw the blood, he didn't see the sin anymore. He forgave it. He forgot it. He cast it away. Hey, listen, and now you stand before God in the forgiveness of your sins through the blood of Jesus. And so when the devil wants to come, as he did in the days of Job, and he brings railing accusations up against us, and he says, that one's unworthy, they're unfit, they're unclean, they're good for nothing. You know what my father says? My father says he's adopted. He belongs to me. Get out of the way. You have no say here. He's covered by the blood of my own son. I have redeemed him, adopted him, forgiven him. And bless God, Paul said, the purpose of God was to gather us home someday, that we'd all be one. All things in heaven, all things in earth, that God would call us all together to be with him forever. Amen. According to his purpose. And so we can look at these things and say, well, how can this ever be? Hey, listen, we don't understand. We don't understand how all these things could happen. And Paul wrote to him in chapter 2 and 3. And he said, these things were a mystery unto us. And Paul said, and they were a mystery from the beginning. In the old days, through the prophets and all the things that took place. But Paul said, God has revealed these things unto me. He said, and made me a minister unto the Gentiles, that I could come to you and preach Jesus Christ. All thank God to the purpose that God had for him, for you and I. But Paul, he said, through the dispensation of time, hey, listen, and now, and purpose of God is to not only to have us adopted and redeemed, forgiven of sin, and gathered home together, but he said, because that is a future day yet to take place, that gathering time for us, that's the only thing that remains. I'm already adopted. Amen. I'm already redeemed. I'm already forgiven. But we've not been gathered home yet. But the Bible said, as Paul wrote in chapter 1, that God did not leave us in the dark regarding our gathering home someday. But he said he has bestowed upon us and given us the earnest of our inheritance through the Spirit of God. And listen, I don't know how much earnest there is, but I only know what the world looks at it like. But if you go buy a home, or maybe if you used to 20, 30 years ago, if you had something that you wanted to purchase and you had to wait for the approval time until the time of closing, they required an earnest down payment. Sometimes the earnest was 10%. Sometimes it was a couple hundred dollars. But nonetheless, the earnest money was a small portion of what the bigger sum was. Hey, you know where I'm going with this? Hey, thank God the Lord has given us the earnest of our inheritance. And I'll say this tonight, as good as the Holy Ghost is when it comes through the church and stirs us up and causes us to move and makes us cry and makes us shout and makes us feel good in the spirit and feel good in the body, we've not seen anything yet. Hey, thank God it's just a glimmer of the glory that shall be revealed in us when God gathers us home. We've only seen a little bit of it down here. We've not seen it all. Hey, listen, I believe what we feel on this side don't hold a candle to what God has on the other side. I just believe that. But he said, we on this side, while we're here, while we're waiting for the gathering time, Paul said in chapter 1, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hey, listen, we are, God has closed the book on. In other words, there's no doubt where we're going. There's no doubt what we've got. He has given us the earnest of our inheritance. I've just got a little bit of it. And sometimes what little bit I got fills me up so much that I feel like I can't hardly stand it in this body. It wears the body out. But thank God I'm going to have a new body someday. It'll never wear out. It'll never grow old. It'll never have to rest. It'll never have to sleep. I was reading in the book of Revelation this morning. Hey, listen, about when God calls us home. Hey, listen, after God brings us all out of the grave. Hey, listen, and we all step into that glorified body. And he takes us all home someday. Hey, listen, he said there's a new heaven and a new earth. Hey, listen, the Bible says that in that city there's no sun, there's no light. There's no temple there. Hey, listen, we'll be rejoicing and praising God. And there's no need for a light. But there is no night in that city. For the Lamb of God is the light of that city. Hey, we're going to be shouting and praising God. You think we have a good time over here? You wait till we get over there. Hey, we'll not be wore out in body. We'll not have to gather into that place all beaten down from the week prior. But we'll gather in singing and praising God, rejoicing forevermore. And we'll never wear out. Hey, listen, because we'll finally come into the fullness of the glory of God and the majesty. majesty of God and will be exactly what God had purposed us to be from the beginning of time. God has a lot in store for us. And we've just got a glimmer. And I thank God, he said, when he was talking in that latter part of Ephesians, talking about being sealed, Paul said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We are given the Spirit of God. Listen, it is a growing way. I've heard people say that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I absolutely believe that tonight. I never got it all when I got saved. I got salvation. Don't get me wrong. I mean, let me pause right here. I got redemption. I got salvation. I got sanctification. I got everything when I was on the altar and I got up and I was born again. All right? I was sealed to the day of redemption. But I did not get all the knowledge and the revelation that God had in store. Those things are learned along the way. As Apostle Paul wrote unto him in another scripture, he told him, he chastised one of the churches that he wrote to, and he said, I would, brethren, that you be on the meat. He said, but I had to come to you with the sincere milk as babes, because you're not strong enough to take the meat yet. Hey, listen, but he said, anyone that uses milk is unskillful in their ways. But hey, listen, as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we get off of the things that we should be established and not being debating over, and we go into the more deep things of God, and we understand these are the things that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of. Hey, listen, God, we are not saved to judgment of others. We are not saved to put people down. We are not saved to be lifted up high and get prideful in our hearts. We are saved by the love of God, and the same love of God, hey, that he saved us with is put inside of us. And if Jesus Christ said, I've come not to judge the world, but the world, we'll be judged by the word that is in this book and the word of God, then it's not your job or my job to judge them either. But we love the word. We love our brothers and sisters. We love the people here. Hey, listen, as Christ loved us, we love the church. The Bible says plainly, and I don't know why I'm getting into all this, but it's good measure anyhow. He said, if you don't love the brethren, then you don't love God. For the Bible says, how can you love God whom you've not seen if you can't love your brother who you have seen? Thank God tonight that he instilled something in us that is greater than us. Hey, listen, and we would on our own selves would sometimes cast people off. I'm glad when the Spirit of God comes by and reminds us of who we are and what we were, it causes us to get down and humble and pray for our loved ones. Pray for the sick. Pray for the lost. Pray for those that are in need. Pray for those that are ailing that need help in this way, because there'll be a day when we'll earnestly long for the prayers of our own brothers and sisters, because if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in need of prayer the same as those who have fallen by the wayside. This is the battle tonight, and we need to remember who we are. And when Paul was writing the letter here to the Ephesians, he was telling them, he said, I cease not to remember and to mention you daily in prayer. He knew what fight they had. He knew the struggles they had. He knew what they were up against. He knew what society called him. Hey, listen, and he knew that as long as they were in this world, there were going to be a fight on their hands. And Christ told us all that there would be a fight on our hands. So we ought to be praying for one another. Paul wrote there, said, I cease not to mention you. And then he says, your eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The enlightenment don't come from one another. The enlightenment comes from God. Now, God can use a number of ways to enlighten us. He enlightens us through his word. He enlightens us through his messages. He enlightens us through testimonies of a brother or a sister. God enlightens us in a number of ways. But we always ought to be willing to accept those things, even the corrections when they come. Because I've been wrong in a lot of things. And I'm sure I'll be wrong in many more things. Because I'm not to heaven yet. I still fight in this battle, in this carnal mind. So there are things that I'm sure I'm wrong in now. And I try not to let things cause division or get in the way. I just ask God to help me, when show me when I am wrong, so I can be enlightened. And there's been times when self has gotten in the way too much. But I am thankful that God knows how to help us along the way and show us these things. And Paul writes to them that he enlightened their understanding, that we realize the hope of our calling and we realize the riches of his glory. And what he was saying was that you realize what God's purpose is for you in life. And as they sung a song, I believe it was, that Jesus is all that matters. I mean, what we do with Christ in this life is all that matters. I mean, I believe that people work hard, and I'm very much one. I try to instill in my children to work hard, and I try to instill in people. I mean, hard work and will pay off in the long run. I mean, in life, we know that you need things to sustain life, and I believe God supplies those things. I believe if a person works hard and pays their just debts and they don't lie and they don't cheat and they don't defraud other people and they live honest, I believe God honors that. I do. I believe he does. But I also believe that none of that matters without Christ in the center of your life. I've often told people that God has given me everything I have. He's given me every job I ever had. He's given me every home I ever lived in. He's given me every vehicle I have to drive. He gave me a wife. He gave me children. He gave me grandchildren. God's given me everything. And I don't look to the world and I don't thank the world for any of that. I thank God for those things. Paul writes unto him here, and we're almost going to be wrapped up here in a minute. But then he writes and he's talking about his purpose. He talks about what they enlightened and they can understand what Jesus did and the exceeding greatness of the power to usward that believe the things that God has done according to his purpose for us. It said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. My Savior's not dead tonight. He's at the right hand of the Father. In heaven, sitting there making intercession for me and you. Far above, Paul says, right? All principalities and powers and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. There's absolutely nothing that Christ is not the head over. He is the head over everything. The Bible says God gave him all authority in heaven and earth. Hey, listen, and so Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father right now. And there's not principalities that are not over him. Powers are not over him. Hey, there's nothing might, no dominion is over him. But he sees it all. He is above it all. And he said, above all, he is the head of all things to the church. He's the head of the church. He's the head of you and I. It says, which is his body. He is the head, and we're just made up. Paul, later on, he talks to him about being fitly framed together. We are all fitly framed together in the house of God. That means we all are put there according to God's purpose, and we all have a purpose to where he put us. That's a beautiful thing. What that means is I can't take your place and you can't take my place. And together, with Christ being ahead, we work together. And the purpose of God is fulfilled. And that's just a glorious thing. And that's the hand of God, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I hope and pray tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is your all in all. I hope that you realize how much he loves you, and I hope you realize what he did for you. I hope you understand his might and his power. And we ought to all give heed and give reverence and just thank him for what he's done. If you're lost tonight, I hope and pray that you realize what his purpose is for you. His purpose for you is for not for you to die lost. His purpose for you is to come and be born again. Amen. To be saved, to be redeemed, to be adopted. Thank God. Brother James, won't you come? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Go home and read chapter 2 and 3. It'll bless your heart. Amen. I'm always amazed that we can read the Bible, and I say that often. We read some of those chapters, and we just read over them, and they bless us, and then we don't go back to them for quite a while, but then we read them again. It's like it's brand new, and it's always a blessing. I thank the Lord for it. Anyone needs to come and pray tonight, we encourage you to do that. This altar is open for us, for you and for me. Christ gave us access that we could come and we could pray. He said, come boldly. There's no shame in coming and praying to God, asking for help. We all need help.
Someone have a testimony tonight before we make a few announcements?